Hello and welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. We are heading into week six of play. I'm your host, Tara Henry, joined by Rhiannon Potke. Ree, how are you doing this week?
Doing good. Getting ready for all the conferences to start. We've got some great, great series that start in the SEC, and you were down taking a look at the Big Ten. So we just got a whole bunch of really good matchups. I'm excited because the Pac-12 is going to be starting soon too.
Yeah, and we saw a little bit of movement last week in the top 25. Arizona lost to UCF and then dropped to Florida State. Tight games. Ree, what did you see over in the SEC, ACC? Anything that stuck out to you in terms of the play last week?
Yeah, well, that series you said, the non-conference with Florida State, that was a really, really confidence-boosting series for them to, you know, take two out of three against Arizona. Just a really, really fun series to watch, too. Great pitching. SEC-wise, it's always intense. I mean, we saw Kentucky. We were kind of waiting until they got challenged, and, they contended, right? They lost. Obviously, the Gators won the series, which was in Gainesville. But Kentucky finally took a game, which they rarely do down there in Gainesville, that last game. And, man, that was a juggernaut, extra inning drag-out fight there for that one. So that was a really good series, really good pitching, really good, you know, offense, clutch moments. LSU-Tennessee, the first – they had to postpone that first day. And Saturday was a great doubleheader. I mean, they split that, and then LSU came out and just blitzed Tennessee in the finale and just, you know, they hit Ashley Rogers so hard from the first pitch. And that was pretty much the siren song there. That might be not a good sign. So it was a good, you know, that first day was good. They went eight innings for both games in that one. And then that series finale was kind of a downer in the sense of competitiveness. And then everything else, I mean, the rivalries were a sweep. Alabama swept Auburn, those freshman pitchers for Auburn. They showed some good stuff. It's just, it's just Alabama's eventually going to get to you. You know, those hitters, that lineup, the Baileys came alive, Bailey Hemphill, Bailey Dowling, and those young pitchers that Auburn has. They got their first taste of it, and they did. They had some good innings, but just eventually, you know, the Alabama hitters got on them. So, and Alabama swept, and then last night we had kind of finishing up Ole Miss is, you know, I mean, it hasn't been a juggernaut of teams they've beaten, but they're steadily putting together this win streak, and they swept Mississippi State for the first time in program history. And that's not an easy lineup to do, and their pitchers, those pitchers have really come alive for Ole Miss. So good sign for Jamie Traxel in our first season there.
Yeah, and I was able to catch some of the Big Ten softball games in Leesburg, Florida. It was a bubble type of atmosphere. They had played that first week in there and then went home and then came back for the third week. So it was great to see the teams out on the field. Got to watch a few fantastic matchups. I was actually really pleasantly surprised with Ohio State. They did a great job over the weekend and lost a nail biter to Northwestern. Got to watch Danielle Williams in the circle and was able to head on over and watch Michigan, Wisconsin, and catch a Maryland game in Indiana. My favorite thing of the weekend is probably when Gabby Jenkins stole home or Indiana. So keep an eye on the Big Ten. It's going to be tough that when they don't have these out-of-conference games on them, but I think they're doing the best with what they've got. And it was just great to see all the teams out there playing, and just nice to be in the Florida sun, I'm sure, for most of them coming from colder weather. So that was the Big Ten this week. And anything else, Ree, in terms of what you saw across the country?
No, it's just always like, I just feel like I'm missing something because there's always so many games going on at once that I just like, I just pray I didn't miss something like super significant taking place, because I'm trying to, you know, I've really been honestly consciously trying to lock in on games more instead of trying to watch them all, because I really feel like I kind of maybe just pick one game per series and watch and then catch up with the rest. But just some really intense, fun play. I mean, non-conference is great, but conference is really, really, when you get these series, you know, an ACC's grinder, they're going those four game series, which I honestly think is a little bit too much. It's just, you know, so much with, you know, you saw the Virginia Tech NC State home run derby that broke out there with those teams. It's just hard four times, but the three game SEC series, those are just, it's fun. I mean, it's really fun because you can see the adjustments, you can see from game to game, it's really competitive, and I love it. I love kind of, you know, as much as I like the non-conference, the conference is really just because they know each other so well. So it's kind of just the in-game strategies are fascinating for me to watch.
Yeah, and this week we've got the Pac-12 opening up and the Big 12 opening up. I'll be out at UCLA, Arizona State. So keep an eye on that. And like you said, conference play, there's just nothing like it. And I was able to listen to the Kentucky-Florida game and was receiving messages, but was able to actually turn on the ESPN app. So I was listening and driving at the same time, and it was intense. I wasn't even watching it, but it's just amazing that we have the access and ability to even listen and see these games. So just super thankful that we've got loads of softball on TV. And Ree, why don't you announce who we've got on this really special week of the D1 softball players only segment of the podcast?
Yeah, this one was really fun. We got some interaction between the two players, great personalities. We have on, and you were speaking of where you might see her, is Arizona State senior catcher Maddie Hackbarth was on. It's never dull with Maddie. I love talking to Maddie just because she just tells it like it is, and she's fun, and she's got all kinds of, you know, she has the snack room, her and her sister. So they're the ones that kind of everyone comes to for snacks on the road. We talked about her dogs. She's got these, her and her sister have dogs, Captain and Bear. And then we had Virginia Tech pitcher Keely Richard, who's, one of the best pitchers in the nation, and a budding, cosmetologist who's got her cosmetology license and does hair and makeup for the team whenever they need it, and has plans. She tells us about her aspirations to open a facility that caters to baseball, softball training, and then also gives you manicures and pedicures in the off hours. So it was really fun stuff. They talked with each other. They're going to really enjoy all the listeners, because it was really good, fun answers and good interaction between the two. Hello, I am Rhiannon Potke, and welcome to the D1 Softball's Players Only segment of the podcast. This weekly episode features a rotating group of players from around the country to give you an inside look at all the action through their perspective. They'll take you on the field, in the dugout, and in the classroom. Joining us today for episode 6 is Arizona State fifth-year senior catcher Maddie Hackbarth and Virginia Tech junior pitcher Keely Richard. Hackbarth is batting a team-leading .491 for the Sun Devils with 8 doubles, 12 home runs, and 34 RBIs. She boasts a slugging percentage of, it's crazy, 1.263. And the Sun Devils will begin Pac-12 play this weekend against UCLA in the games that actually count for the standings. Richard is 8-1 with a 1.27 ERA, 64 strikeouts in 55 innings. She set the school record for winning percentage in 2019, going 22-3 with 11 shutouts. And the Hokies are well into ACC play by this point. So, and just came off a really good outing against North Carolina State last weekend. So thank you both so much for joining us on the D1 Softball Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So Maddie, let's start with you. We read some of your stats, the 12 home runs, and home runs seem to be something that's a prominent across the nation. We've seen it increasing in softball as it goes across. Do you pay attention in terms of all the other players launching all these balls out of the park, since your program is pretty much largely based on that offensively?
Yeah, I mean, I pay attention to all softball across the nation. But home runs specifically are fun to watch. I support every program, all women that play the sport, and in any sport in general. I love to watch Jossie Allo and Fale Leilua, just because their balls get launched and the passion they have, and that's what they do. So I love watching them. I love watching home runs. I love watching softball.
What is your approach at the plate? I mean, do you go up there searching for home runs, or you've hit your fair share, but when you're up there, what is your first approach when you're looking at a pitcher?
Honestly, I'm not trying to hit a home run every single time. If it goes, it goes. I'm very lucky to be able to play at Farrington, which is a smaller field and the ball flies. But my approach is the same thing every time: get a good pitch, get barrel on it, and hit it hard somewhere.
Keely, you had your team was talk about launching home runs. That NC State, that series finale, there was a lot of program records destructed in that. How is it as a pitcher when you're in the circle? Because you obviously you don't really need as much run support, but it's nice to have it. What was your perspective in having that as kind of the closeout of that series?
Yeah, it was really nice, especially coming in now that we're doing the 4-game series. So just knowing that when you see a team multiple times, like, it's obviously harder. But knowing that my team, like, can put up the run support after seeing pitchers and adjusting very well, that helps a lot. And it carries over to defense just to play clean. And I trust my defense regardless. So, but even if I do give up runs, I know that, like, my team can come back and score and we're never out of anything.
Yeah, your team too. You know, as we navigate this 2021 season, that's definitely different. You guys, the program endured a COVID shutdown where you had to kind of skip a few games, skip a few weekends. How was that experience? And you know, what did you guys have to go through in terms of just, you know, staying patient and not getting too frustrated by not playing?
So the people who didn't have to quarantine, we were able to still practice and stuff, but it was a very few of us. So as for me, like, I was still able to throw, like, a little bit live to the people who the few of us who weren't in quarantine, but just making sure to, like, still see live at bats, staying on top of being, like, in rhythm with season and stuff, because it's really hard, especially for the people who are out. Like, you can't really do anything, especially if you're in isolation. So I think that was just a big thing. And I think a lot of that was just, like, the mental side of it and, like, just staying in the game. So,
yeah, that's definitely part of it. I know that's going to be something a lot of programs deal with and have dealt with. So we just got to kind of roll with the punches. Was it good to get back on the field? Did everyone feel, I mean, that you were able to get a full team out there?
Yeah, I was saying I was actually more, like, pumped and excited to play this past weekend than I was before the season even started, because it's hard just, like, watching other teams play, like, the weekends that we weren't, and we were, like, just not being able to see any competition, as opposed to, like, at the beginning of the season, like, no one was playing yet, so it wasn't like I was watching games, like, waiting to play, but yeah, I think this weekend everyone was just, like, super excited just to get back into it.
Maddie, you have the you know, the interesting part of playing with your sister. I know we've done some stories on it. We've talked to you about it in the past, but how does that dynamic work, and how do you, it's something that you've obviously done most of your college career now, but how was that for you and your sister? How does that dynamic work between you two on the same team?
I mean, we've been playing with each other since we were in diapers. So, I mean, nothing's changed. I think obviously we're in a different environment, and I think we've embraced it, and we're just trying to have fun and finish our last year eligibility wise, and just finish strong, have fun with our teammates and have fun with each other, because we don't know, you know, what we're doing after this softball wise, if we're going to be continuing to play together or whatever happens. But I mean, we're two different players on the field. I mean, she's left-handed, but she can do everything from the left side. She plays the outfield. I think that, you know, given that I'm a catcher, righty, power hitter, we complement each other well. And I love when she gets on base. I think I'm her biggest hype man, and I love to see her succeed, because that's what she deserves. And I think that, I mean, watching back videos and all this stuff, I know every time I get on base, she's smiling, clapping out of the dugout, hyped for me too. I think that Coach Ford is very excited to have us on her team just because of what we do. And again, like I said earlier, we do complement each other because of what we do. But I love playing with her, and I'm excited to see what she ends up finishing as a Sun Devil with her stats. And
That's great. It's got to be easy for your parents to travel too. They just one location, like, they don't have to split up.
Yes.
If they're allowed, I'm sure, you know, now that their people are allowed in to watch a little bit of these games, at least family members. Now you both are interesting to me. I mean, you're just tremendous softball players, but there's a lot of stuff about you that's fun off the field, personality wise. In other words, I know Keithy, when we did a story on you in the summer, we talked about your interest in hair, makeup, cosmetology. How can you kind of tell us more about that side of you and kind of what you're into in case people didn't get to see that?
Yeah. So my mom is a hairdresser. So just like my whole life, I've kind of been around that. I have my cosmetology license. I got that when I was in high school. So that's really what I want to do, like, as my career. I really like doing nails a lot. That's probably like my main interest, but I like everything else. Like, I like doing eyelashes, hair, waxing, everything. I just really enjoy that. So yeah.
And you're the go-to person in that team, right? Like, do you have a lot of teammates coming to you for some touch-ups and things?
Yeah, for nails, waxing. I braid all their hair. Yeah. So
now, do you have a chair? Is that when we talked last time, didn't you have like, or something brought to you?
No, I have like a portable pedicure chair in my apartment.
That's crazy. Well, tell people your dream too. You want to combine the two with like a facility that includes both, right? In your future?
So, if I was being like realistic, like about what I would want to do, like eventually after I build a clientele and stuff, I was always thinking like to buy a warehouse or rent out a warehouse and turn it into like a indoor softball facility, baseball facility, but also like a salon at the same time. So like during the day I could work at the salon, and then at night I can do like lessons in the indoor facility. I can rent out the indoor facility. Especially like it depends upon what area I end up living in, but I know like the area I was back home, we didn't really have, when I was in high school, we didn't really have like places to go practice if it rained. So like I know a lot of like high schools would maybe want to rent out an indoor facility to practice if it's raining that day, or and I can even rent out like by booth, like by, so if someone else wants to give lessons there, they're more than welcome to. So.
That's genius. And two, if moms are dropping, or dads dropping off their kids, they can probably just stop on by and get like a pedicure, manicure, you know, if you had some people working there too. There's a lot of crossover potential there. I like that idea. Now, Maddie, I talked about your sister playing with you, but your dogs have become very popular in Tempe too. Can you tell me about your dogs?
Yes. Bear is my dog, and Captain is Kinder and Zahid's dog. They're best friends. They're from two different litters, a week difference in age. But yeah, we got them the fall of our senior year. That's a year and some change. But no, they got that. Kinder and Zahid got Captain, and right when I saw Captain, I was like, oh, I want one. So I started looking, and I got Bear 2 weeks later, and they became best buds. They love going to the field. Captain loves playing fetch. He will play fetch for 9 hours straight. Your arm will, like, if you need to just go play catch with somebody, Captain's your partner. He's the next Air Bud. And Bear, he just a little lover boy. He wants to cuddle. For some reason, he is obsessed with shadows, so, or reflections, lasers. Sometimes I think he's part cat because he'll chase a red laser around. But yeah, my mom, we had gotten our senior pictures taken, and we got a picture taken with the puppies. And my mom made shirts out of them and a poster. So that's hung up at Farrington behind where she sits, along with all the other stuff she hangs up. But yeah, and then some other people, like, people keep asking, where do I get one? Can I have one? And it's just a picture of us and the dogs in the front, and then it has a pitchfork with our numbers on the back of the shirts. And yeah, they're famous. They both have Instagrams. So they have their own Instagram. Kendra handles all that stuff, her photography and all that jazz. And yeah, they're famous. Everybody loves them. Yeah.
the age where pets have Instagrams, but I never thought I might see it in my lifetime, but it's a thing. It's great. That's the kind of content we need during like the pandemic, is just lovely photos of dogs, you know, and babies, things of that nature. So, it wasn't really super intentional, but we have a battery here. We have a catcher, we have a pitcher. And we've had some readers and some listeners that are, you know, have submitted suggestions, ideas of what they want to see with this podcast, which is awesome because that means people are listening. They were asking, you know, maybe turn the tables with some of these guests, and being that you are a pitcher and a catcher, Keely, is there anything that you would want to ask Maddie in terms of just something about her or about catching or anything, sure, that would be, something that just interests you about, you know, the person we have on with you today, the other guest?
But I do think it's really cool that your sister plays with you, because like while you guys were like relating to like parents coming to the same place, my brother actually plays baseball here at Virginia Tech. So we live together. So our parents are also able to like come together to the same exact place. So I thought that was really cool. So,
wow. I didn't know that. That's neat. I didn't realize he's a Hokie too. Huh. How about you, Maddie? You got any questions for this? You've dealt with the great, great, great staff of pitchers at ASU, but any questions for another pitcher from another staff here?
I have a question, but I think that's awesome that your brother goes to the same school and that your family gets to go and watch you guys play. They're actually doing a story on my parents and how far they've traveled and all this stuff. So that's really awesome that your family gets to do that. But I guess to make it fun and interesting, let's see here. What question can I ask?
Uh-oh, this could be dangerous.
One, I want to know what pitches you throw. Specifically, what your best pitch is. And two, do you think you could strike me out?
Ooh.
Let's make it fun.
My best pitch is rise ball.
Okay.
But I can also throw change up too and drop. So I don't know. I really don't watch a lot of softball, which is could be probably surprising. So I probably could strike you out, but
okay. There we go. Copy our girl.
But it depends, because you could probably also get a hit. So it depends on how many at bats we have here.
There you go.
We could go one out of three. We could go three.
Yeah. Okay. So fun. I think at least once I could strike you out.
Okay. Another thing too. I think that's awesome that you want to do that with the warehouse. I think that our generation has a huge opportunity to grow our sport, and we have a great platform to do that and empower women. And I think that your envision of what you want to do with that is amazing, and I hope that it works out, and you'll have to let me know where it's at so I can swing on by.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope so. I'm really excited to get kind of to that point where I can build a clientele and then start doing that kind of stuff. So
Maddie, you can be a guest instructor. That would be awesome.
Yeah, come and
start. There we go.
And then we can check it out. We can set this up. Like, it could be like like at the grand opening. It could be some sort of guy in here. We're all just all these minds coming together to, you know, help for the future generations. It's great. One other reader submitted, you know, suggestion is just for both of you. We'll start with Maddie. Maddie, you know, your youth softball days, there's a lot of little girls out there just starting out. What is your most salient memory from your youth softball time, or something that really jumps out to you about that period in your life?
I think the friendships that I've built, and honestly just having fun. I think growing up through the struggles and the hardships that softball brings, I think that it's hard to still be in love and have that love and passion for the sport. And I think at a young age, that's what you get inside of you, is that love. And so that's the one thing that I've held on to, and also the friendships that I've built. I grew up playing with Sis Bates, the shortstop at Washington, and to this day me, Kendra, and Sis are very close. Sis is going to be in Kendra's wedding as a bridesmaid, and so I think that's those two things are probably the biggest that have stuck or stood out to me and have stayed with me throughout this sport. And
That's awesome. Keely, for you, what about your youth days?
Really just to like stick with like your dream, because like when I was younger, I know I've told this story multiple times, my mom's always like, stop telling that story. But I like really wanted to pitch, and everyone was like, I don't really know. Like, is that your position? Like, are you sure you want to do that? Maybe you should catch, maybe you should do this. I'm like, no, like I'm pitching. That's what's happening. Like, it's everywhere. Like, I was maybe like 9 when I was saying this, but I was like, I'm pitching. Like, and so my mom got me lessons, and I was just like really bad. Like, I would walk everybody, but I was just like, who's next? Like, come on, keep it coming. And finally, just like one day it clicked. Like, I didn't give up on it because I really wanted to do it, and it clicked, and like it's worked out for the best. So just like, if something's not working, just work really hard at it. And just to, and that's like with everything in life, like don't just give up on it just because people don't think you can do something, or just because you're not good at it at that moment. If you work really hard to be good at something, you can be.
That's a great message. Yeah. And good thing you were so persistent and irrationally confident at that age. I don't know. I probably would have been like, man, if I walked that, I'd be like, put me in like right field, I'm good. Like, I would have lost all confidence. We'll let you guys go on this. I know you guys have tons of stuff to do, studying and, you know, practicing and everything, but we always like to kind of have a fun one to end on. When you guys are traveling for games, and I know this year's a little different than other years, but what is the first thing you pack that isn't necessarily softball gear? What is a must like have for a travel trip for you? Let's start with you, Keely.
Just like my AirPods so I can listen to music. I don't know, sometimes, well, this year in the hotel room, like, it kind of sucks because you can't go anywhere when you're in the hotel. So I like to bring an HDMI cord so that I can hook it up to my TV and like play movies and stuff for me and my roommate. So.
That's smart. How about you, Maddie?
The first thing that I pack that's not softball related, probably my headphones. I'm huge on music. I love listening to music. I listen to it all the time. So I'm going to go with headphones and food, meat. So because of protocol and all this stuff, me and my sister are roommates because we live together. And so me and her have the snack room. So me and her both always have snacks with us. So headphones and food, those two things will get me through anything.
What is in the ASU snack room? We have to know that now.
Let's see, beef jerky, the little like teriyaki nuggets, those we have like 8 bags of those. Cereal is a big thing right now for me and Kendra. Kendra is on like a cereal kick. Her favorite cereal is Cinnamon Toast Crunch. So we have that.
Classic. Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. She loves that. So cereal, beef jerky, maybe some munchies, hot Cheeto munchies sometimes. The fudge strip cookies. I have a Snicker before every game, so Snickers for me. Put those in the fridge, cold, way better. Water, Gatorade. What did we have when we went to El Paso? We had some Pringles. I think I had some granola bars. But yeah, cereal, beef jerky, those two. Snickers are probably the you'll see all the time with us.
That sound you heard is the ASU nutritionist fainting in the background. You know what? Jerky's good protein. The granola bars are healthy. The water. So you mix it. It's not all like.
It's a good mix.
Yeah. You can't not live life, right? Too. You gotta, you know, uh-huh. If you're not happy, you won't play good no matter what. You gotta eat to be happy. So it's been just a really enjoyable conversation with you guys. Again, I said we have to let you go at some point. I could probably talk to you all day. You're great guest, and I love the interplay between you two. So hopefully we can have you back on at some point, you know, as we get more into the heart of the season and we start to get down the stretch, we'll definitely try to have you both back on. But I appreciate you. Thank you for joining us, and make sure all the listeners out there, make sure you download and subscribe to the D1 Softball Podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Give us a rate and review so we can stay in business and so we can bring you more of these great guests like we did today. And also make sure to subscribe to d1softball.com to get all the articles, because we've written a lot about these two players, and I'm sure you'd want to read that, and you won't find it anywhere else with the same depth as far as scores and stats and everything. We have new stats now, so team pages and everything. So make sure you do that, and you don't want to miss out, because we'll definitely have these two back on in the future. Thank you again both for joining us on the D1 Softball Players Only segment of the podcast.
Thank you.
It's always great to hear from the players themselves, Keely Richard and Maddie Hackbart. What a hoot, the two of them together. I'm just really loving having the players on the podcast.
It's fun. And we had some, you know, as you can, when you listen to that interview, we've had some really good response and some readers that have, you know, emailed in and sent in suggestions for questions, which I tried to incorporate this week. So if, you know, without going completely off the rails with your submissions, if you want something answered, we can try to always work that in. We love the interaction. We love the listeners. So yeah, the players are fun, and it's good to get them right off of, like, you know, games and the weekend, and just, you know, they bring the perspective that we don't get. We're not there. We're not in the clubhouse. So it's fun to talk to them. Really enjoyed it. And I hope we have those two on again at some point, which I'm sure we will.
Well, and that's going to do it for the D1 Softball Podcast. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to the website, d1softball.com, where you'll get all insight analysis. Well, actually starting a D1 softball fantasy league too as well. So stay up to date with the stats and scores. It's going to be wild. I think it'd be really fun, because we'll be highlighting players from all over the country, and it's not just your Power Five players. It's we'll be highlighting everybody, and it's going to be fun to see who scores what points, and it'll be up on the site. So you'll be able to see the rules of play. Join along on Twitter. Let us know what you think. Ree, any final thoughts of the week?
No, just, you know, that's a great idea. I'm really looking forward to that. That's an awesome thing that we're doing with that fantasy league. I know how popular those are, and softball deserves its own. So it's awesome that we're having one for this sport. We're taping this on a Tuesday, just some out there. A lot of the SEC midweeks were canceled for Wednesday. So if you're looking to do that, we've already had Alabama, Missouri, Mississippi State, and Georgia. Their Wednesday games are off the docket, so just get ready for the weekend, because the rain hopefully will clear out by then.
Yeah, well, happy week, week 6 for D1 Softball, and we will see you next week on the D1 Softball.